If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
This evening, I'd like to talk about how to enter and establish residency in reality. You know, it's interesting when you study the various world religions and spiritual paths, almost every single path says that you have to die to go into heaven, or you have to ascend to be in the higher consciousness, or you have to do some elaborate yogic system to realize who you've always been. There's always a distancing, it seems, in most religious traditions between your reality and that process of becoming, which is almost an oxymoron. Actually, in highest truth, you do not need to ascend or wait until the three waves of ascension are pulled or 2012 or any other arbitrary benchmark in time and space to move into the divine kingdom now. And, surprise, you do not have to die to live in the kingdom of heaven now. You only need to move your inner awareness physically to that place while you have a physical body. Why is that so important? Because it seems like you have to do it here in the physical, under the guidance of a physical teacher, and make a physical conscious choice to move your awareness back to where you've always been and have never left, nor could you ever be wrested from that place. I like to say in highest truth, we have never left the heart of God. And yet, in my own process of some 40 years of working the spiritual path that I've been on, which is the path of divine light and sound, I believe that is the only path on the planet that actually shows you how to move into those levels while you're living, while you're doing an ordinary life, and to live from that state, which in the Vedic tradition is called Jivan Mukta, or a soul that is liberated even though they're living on the earth in a physical body. I believe that probably every person that steps consciously and with great dedication onto a spiritual path has as their goal liberation and freedom. And if you look at it very practically in terms of where you place the focus and the emphasis of your life, you'll realize that most people are not creating a identity at a higher spiritual level. They're mostly focused into the tangible, material, lower density world. What happens is that, for example, if you put all of your attention into your physical home, your physical career, your physical relationships, you've placed your life there. So guess what? You get to reincarnate again and come back into the physical dimension to enjoy more physicality. If you live your life in the plane of the ideals and the emotions and the feelings and the wishes and the hopes and all of that, you will create an identity in the astral plane, and then you'll get to move from the physical into the astral or the emotional plane and then back into the physical again. But it doesn't get you very high. If you live in the plane of constant thought and study and scholarship and mental debate, then you may move as high as the mental plane, which is the point of origin for almost all books and teachings and philosophies and religions. But guess what? That's not the plane of reality. You're not your mind. So you then recycle right back into the physical plane again. So how can we move into heaven now? That is what I want to look at tonight, and not only look at, but take you there and give you some real, you know, like a mountain climber, you kind of chink a little place to put your foot as you scale the top of the mountain. That's what we're going to do. We're going to create little places to stick your feet so you can begin to move into those levels and establish a residency there. Or perhaps some of you will discover that you've already established a residency there, and so you'll find your true identity there. In fact, I hate to use the terms there, because actually there is not there at all, but here now. Everything is simply a choice of awareness placement. So first of all, let's examine where you are right now. You always have to start with where you are if you want to move from that in any direction whatsoever. So begin to do an inventory, and of course you'll be doing this after the show's off the air. But just make a little mental note that you'll take your inventory and assess where you have placed the majority of your energy, focus, attention, emotional energy, mental energy, and actual physical hands-on work. Where have you invested the currency of your life? Now, what would you like to achieve in your lifetime? If you have as a conscious directive the desire to walk ascended whole and free, as an ascended master, as a Christed one, as a master who's come forward into this timeline from the future, if you wish to stand forth as an empowered, self-realized being at this time, then what we'll be sharing tonight is, for many of you, your next step. As you begin to get a sense of who you are in the physical, realize that you have had all along an identity that exists largely above and beyond your conscious level of awareness. In other words, you're living like an iceberg. There's just a tiny little 10% level that appears as a little blip in what we call the third dimensional world. The greater and vaster part of your life, even though you're not aware of it, is actually taking place in that greater 90% that we call multidimensional or transdimensional, because it goes beyond dimensions at some point into that which is, or the all that is. Now, as you begin to assess your life, realize also that you can consciously move into a higher state and begin to create an identity there, an identity that is so vivid that you actually at some point find that it takes on a life of its own, and you just simply become the observer of what's already there. But to begin with, we're going to start with what we call a mock-up. In other words, you will visualize an in your imaginative creative capacity place whatever it is you want to experience in that level. The level I'm speaking about has been referred to as Satchkhand, the plane of truth, Satya Desh, the true land, the soul plane. There are many different metaphors in the different spiritual traditions. I think for the sake of this evening, we'll simply call it the plane of reality. This is where you exist as what's called an Atma, an Atmic being, or a soul being. This is an eternal identity. It's not something that shifts and changes and ever gets lost. It's that part that is always home with God, in God, as God. So it's your divine component. It's who you truly are. When you take off the Halloween costume you call a physical body and the many masks that you identify with in your emotional and mental states, that which is left when all of that is shined away with the light of your reality, that which remains is who you truly are, the soul. So to begin to court this idea a bit, I want to, because some of you probably don't realize how much ability you have to create in the higher levels. And sometimes that's because your physical plane life takes up most of your attention and you just simply don't pay attention to the things that you already are aware of. So the first thing we do is begin to really become used to validating seeing at a level that is not tangible. In other words, you see, hear, taste, feel, sense, and intuit, just like you do with the six senses we have in the physical plane. They're just more subtle, and it's just a slightly different experience. Now, we already have that faculty because whenever you, for example, go into a restaurant and look at a menu, automatically you're seeing in your mind what the food's going to look like, and you're tasting in your imagination what it may taste like, and you're assessing whether or not you actually want to physically partake of that. Or, for example, if you're looking forward and anticipating a date or a vacation, you already have a mock-up in your mind of what you think that experience is going to feel like, be like, what's going to do for you, what you hope it'll do for you. You know what I'm talking about. So you use these same qualities when you're moving into the realm of the real. You just begin to place them where you want to be in all of your totality, not just sometimes when you sit down and have a good meditation or somebody takes you on a guided imagery and all that's really nice and then you go back and do your 3D life. No, I'm talking about actually moving into this higher version of yourself and this higher version of the earth now while you're in a physical body and you can make that choice. I don't think we can actually do it from any other level but the physical. So far as I understand, you have to consummate this divine realization while you're in a human body. Your life actually, if you want to look at it this way, is really for that purpose and for nothing else. We're not really here to do anything else in speaking in the highest sense. I'm speaking to very evolved souls now. I'm not speaking to beginners on the path. But those of you that presumably have continued to listen to me would certainly be souls that are wanting to do exactly what I'm talking about here, how to actually live in that awakened divine state all the time and to actively exercise your mastery. The single most important thing that I have personally learned in my life is to pay attention to what's going on around you. The more you can be intensely aware of your experience in each moment, the more awareness actually you can bring to bear on moving into this higher consciousness we call the consciousness of soul. For example, as you travel about, take mental snapshots. I've never been a person that's taken a camera and the many 20-some journeys I've taken around the world, I've never taken a camera, but I have taken thousands of mental snapshots. And I can always replay them in my mind like my own personal slideshow anytime I want to. This gives me a tremendous data bank of beautiful scenarios, beautiful scenes, and things that I can enjoy then later on when I want to, anytime I want to. Do the same thing with sounds. Record in your mind your favorite sounds so that you can, for example, recreate the sound of a loon on a lonely lake that's mist-covered in the middle of a beautiful summer morning, or the sound of a whippoorwill out on the beautiful plains, the sound of the wind rustling through aspen trees, the high plains of Colorado. There's so many wonderful sound bites you can create. Do the same thing with your favorite scents. Can you imagine what it's like to walk in a rose garden? Have you noticed that yellow roses and purple roses seem to have the most pungent rose scents? Have you noticed that the lily, the calyx lily that we like to have for Easter, has the most delicate scent, and the Hawaiian orchid as well? Begin to refine each of your senses. Begin to imagine what it feels like to run your fingers over a warm, purring cat or over cold, wet silk. begin to exercise all of these faculties, because you will find that they will give you a very, very rich inner life. And the more you create a life that's rich inwardly, the less this outer gerbil cage of craziness is going to really affect you. This is very practical survival type of information as well. And then take the same thing into taste, the same thing into scenes and scenarios that have been intensely wonderful, loving, uplifting, nourishing, and impactful in your life in a positive way. Make a list of all those things that you find that uplift and inspire you and motivate you and thrill your heart and fire your sense of well-being. Tell yourself over and over and over, I am not a body. I am an immortal spirit. I am one with God. I am divine. No matter how it looks, all is well. I have never left the heart of God. I remain as God created me. I am perfect. I am divine. I am love itself. Begin to talk to yourself like that. Begin to replace your sense of identity with your reality rather than the fiction that shows up with a name tag in this particular dimension. That's not, beloved, who you are. Then, as we begin to do this, I want to just segue for one moment into something that is very important for us to bear in mind, that unless we take our place, we working light workers, and a working light worker is somebody who's working the light. They're utilizing these techniques. They're not fantasizing. They're not wishing. They're not hoping. They're actually employing light consciousness consciously every day in their daily life. When you are a light worker, and that would also be someone who is a bearer of light, you bear the light for the planet, your responsibility is to be the leader and the way shower for humanity. We as light workers form the collective initiate in the world. We are the world servers. And if we don't step forward with that capacity, the people who are younger souls who do not have the awareness yet and the experience as souls yet, they don't know who to follow, who to believe, or where to go. And they become increasingly agitated and violent, and they run out of control. They develop negative spins. Sai Baba said to a friend of mine who is just now coming back from India, that he said that this year there's going to be lots of changes. Now, he didn't go into what the changes are, and Sai Baba seldom, sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he will not address questions about changes. But he did mention that even though there would be many changes this year, that spirituality wouldn't change. Now, that's a bad thing, I think, in avatar speak, because it means that no matter how difficult things are for people, what they're going through, apparently it's not making them really shift out of their negative state. And we must, as a planet, we absolutely must stop using conflict, hatred, killing, and war to make peace. I mean, that's a total illogical approach, and that seems to be what we're doing. You don't fight something to make peace with it. You come to understand it and to work in dialectics with it, but you don't attack it unless, of course, you want to be attacked in return. So unless we do some major shifting in our consciousness, and it looks like the whole responsibility of that shifting is on the light workers. Who else is going to shift? Who's capable of shifting? It has to be us. And it has to be so dramatically vivid that people can actually tell the difference between a light worker and an ordinary person. We've got to show up somewhat conspicuously if we're going to make an impact. That means we have to be conspicuous in our goodwill, our love, our tolerance, our patience, our ability to forgive and release, our ability to come to understanding rather than attack, blame, criticism, and judgment, our ability to have composure and hold ourselves together even though maybe our house is in the flood or is lost in the fire or the tornado maybe takes out our town. No matter what we face in this material world, we need to be centered in reality so that we know that we are immortal beings, we are divine beings. We may lose everything in the material, but we still can say, I am that I am, and all is well. So as we model the ideal that we would like to see implemented on the planet, we become, again, the way showers and the saviors, as it were, to humanity. They desperately need to be saved from the fear, the terror, the desperation, and the hopelessness in which most of them live. And we have that saving grace that we can extend as tributaries of the divine living in human bodies at this time. When humanity reacts inhumanely to another, and that is replicated again and again through different nations and different out-of-balance ideologies and things that are not unified and do not embrace of the oneness that we all share, when they are divergent and separative, you will find that nature will increasingly react. It's almost like nature, the planet itself, will want to shrug off of its shoulders and shake off the fleas that are causing such agitation and dissension. And this is what causes violent earthquakes, violent tornadoes. These are all emotional and mental misqualified energies that have been repeatedly released and released and released until they finally just run havoc on the planet. And that's why we really, as light bearers, need to make it our number one priority to live in goodwill, love, and peace at all times. No time's off. The minute you find those emotions going out of balance, get in there and do your light work and clear yourself and return to sanity and reality. I believe that our time is almost run out in terms of our being able to shift away from some of the things that have been prophesied. I believe that we do live in the level of consciousness that we have. I don't believe that we live in a physical locality so much as we live in a spiritual vibratory perspective. And we can live in heaven even when we're physically in a very unpleasant situation. I know I've been doing that my whole life, so it's not exactly something I'm unfamiliar with. But I'm sharing with you many of the things that I've done myself to move in to the realm of the real and to live from that level. So are you ready? Let's get on with it. Take a deep breath and allow yourself to be lifted like you're on a divine elevator. And as the doors open, you find yourself stepping out into the plane of reality. This is the soul plane. And it is basically golden light. You're going to learn how to see here. And you learn how to see by placing what you want to see there. It's unconditioned. You're used to moving in the physical world, which is already conditioned, so you see things that are already been placed there. The realm of the real is something that you move into as you place forward what you want to experience and see. You may do this by speaking it, but I encourage you to make it as real with all of the senses that you have as you can. Begin to train yourself to see, to hear, to feel, to sense, and to experientially move into subtle realms and make them as real, in fact, even more real than your physical plane. If you do that, you can begin to really live as a free soul, as a Jivan Mukta right now on Earth. Because when the hard things come and the bad times come, you just shift your awareness in to the higher levels and you live from that awareness and you don't pay a great deal of attention to the stuff that's going on around you in the physical. I do that all the time, and quite frankly, I don't even notice most of the negative stuff because that's not where I'm focused and that's not where I'm living. So you're in this golden realm. Now, the first thing I would like you to do is find a place and put your house there. Don't stress at this point about what the house looks like, because you could have any many. You can be a billionaire and have as many mansions as you want. You can do anything you want. But right now, we just want a place to stick your toe in so that you can start to move into this realm. So just put a house there. Later on, you can gussy it up and make it the ideal place that you'd like to live. And I encourage you to do that. Just imagine exactly how and where and in what manner you'd like to live. Make your home absolutely the way, if you had complete carte blanche, how you would live and where. Put it in the ideal location that you perhaps love on Earth. I know my favorite place in all of the Earth is Southern California. I just love California. And I put my ideal home, you know, with the pepper trees and the eucalyptus and the orange groves and all those things I love so much about California. So you pick your ideal terrain, your ideal scenario, and your ideal home and move into it. Visualize your bedroom and your kitchen and your living room and the place that you do your puja or your meditation. Put your office in with your library. Put all your favorite things that you have on Earth that you love so much, your favorite books, all of the things that you would want to have with you when you move in to this higher level. Then visualize your vehicle. What would be your ideal car? And bear in mind that you're putting it in the realm of the soul. You're putting it in reality. You're not creating that on the earth, because whatever you have on the earth tends to disintegrate, break down, need repairs, you know, all that stuff. Where you're creating your identity is where, like it says in the Bible, place your treasures where rust and moth can't corrupt. And that's what we're doing. We're placing it above the level of dissolution and entropy. So you can have any number of cars. You can have a spaceship, a Merkaba. You can buy Locate. You can have a Ferrari. Whatever your thing is, see your car, your vehicle. The next thing is very, very important, and that is your occupation. Are you a multidimensional healer? Are you a teacher? Are you a guru? Are you a sculptor, a painter, an artist, a musician, whatever it is that you love to do here on Earth, generally speaking, is something that you carry with you when you leave your body at night. I know I'm a teacher, so I'm always teaching people on the inner planes at night. I never do anything else. I'm counseling, I'm teaching, and I often teach people how to soul travel on the inner planes. That often shows up as dreams of flying. So I call myself a flight instructor. But whatever it is that you find yourself really doing, if you're living your mission, as I am on Earth at this time, so that I'm not living two lives, I'm living one life all the time. I'm living, I'm being, doing, sharing, and expressing exactly who I am, what I am, what I want to be, what I've dreamed of being. And you know, I'm always in that state, whether I'm awake, whether I'm sleeping, whether I'm dreaming, whether I'm soul traveling, I'm the same person all the time in those different levels. And it's because a long time ago I moved into the realm of the real, and that's where I live from. And not too long ago, I went up to check my place where I like to live. And it's become a metaphor for my outer life and its progression, because I find it's taken on a life of its own, and my dwelling actually shifts and changes as I do in the physical world. It's quite amazing. And so I go up there every now and then, and I go, whoa, this has really expanded. This is tremendous. And so I think you will find a similar experience. I don't imagine that any of us are that different, that go up and check your dwelling periodically. Spend time in it every day. Go up there and then, you know, make it a place that you like to retreat to. You know, it can have the crackling fireplace. It can have the, you know, the hot tub. It can have anything you want it to have, because you are the one that decides what it's going to be at that level. But make it a place that you like to hang out in, and park your consciousness there periodically, and begin to live. That's your real house. So if you live in a shack here that you can barely pay the rent for, you could care less. You've got this mansion, you know, that's your real house. And begin to think that way about things. Put all of your attention and values in a material world, because the material world is in a constant state of moldering and decay. And once you've moved into this higher level, you'll discover, as I have, that when you come back into physical consciousness, everything looks kind of tawdry and painted and decrepit and moldering. It's not very attractive down here. It's really... The whole physical world is a distorted hologram of what exists in the plane of reality that we're working in. That's the real life that we have. This life down here is simply a reflection that we have overly identified with. So now we're going to shift our point of identification from the reflection, from the Maya, the illusion, into the real. So as you find your place of occupation, begin to spend a lot of time in that occupation when you're meditating. These are inner things that you do as you meditate and spend time working in your inner kingdom. Create yourself a place where you do your occupation. If you're a chiropractor and that's what you love to do, or a healer, create yourself a business. You know, put up your shingle, Doctor so-and-so, or Commander so-and-so, or whatever your thing is, and move in and do your work. You'll see your clients, practice some of the techniques, and see what they do. You'll find that at that level, your experiences are not imagination. They're very real. You will discover that after some time. At first, it'll seem like, oh, you're just, you know, daydreaming and making it all up. But like I said, at some point, it will take on a life of its own. And you'll realize that you have simply been moving in to where you've always been. So, okay, you've got your place to live, you've got your vehicle, you've got your occupation. Now begin to look around and see what's there. What do you really love to do? Oh, you like to ski? Cool. Put yourself a beautiful, the ideal ski slope. Or if you like to swim, or swim with the dolphins, or ride horses, or Pegasus, or whatever, begin to put in those elements that you just love, whether or not they're fantasy, whether or not they're imaginative. Hey, this is the realm where you can have it exactly as you want it, exactly. You want to have, satsang with some of the great masters. See the different, everything and everyone you love there. You want Sai Baba there, see him. You want Christ there, see him. You want Buddha there, see him. Whoever, whatever. See all of the persons and the things that you most love there in that realm. And you'll find, as I have, you know what? This is where all of them live. This is really the city of the masters. This is where they live. This is where they hang out. Do you ever wonder where Jesus is? Is he sitting in heaven at the right hand of the Father? Duh. He's living in this realm. So go up and find out from him firsthand what he had to say, you know, beyond the distortions and the interpretations of lesser souls. Go and talk to the man himself directly. Go sit with Sai Baba. You know, go ask him how it is to be an avatar and take lessons. We were in an interview one day with Sai Baba, and there was this guy that was part of our group, and he was such a jokester. And of course, he was cutting jokes all the time, even though we were all trying to be very, reverent and respectful because we're with this cosmic avatar. And so, but he wasn't daunted by any of it. And so finally he said, "Hey, Swami," he said, "how do you materialize things?" Because Sai Baba usually will move his hand palm down in about five circles, and then whatever he's manifesting will appear as a little white light that appears in his palm. And you'll watch it come right out into manifestation, and then he'll just reach his hand and scoop it up. And I've often sat, where I could look right under his palm and watch him materialize. So anyway, this guy's looking at Sai Baba, and he said, "Hey, Swami, show me how to do that too, will you?" And Sai Baba looked at him, he can always come in right on the frequency that you're on. And he says, "Hey, if I show you how to do it, there's no need for the avatar." He's got such a precious sense of humor, as, all enlightened beings do seem to have that sense of humor. I remember also in a dream he was teaching me how to materialize, and I was waving my hand in a circle, and my palm was getting really, really hot and starting to burn. And all of a sudden, this sticky white thing came out of my palm like a marshmallow. I thought, "Oh, great, I can manifest a marshmallow." And when I came back in my body and woke up, I had this white pyramid mark on my palm for some time. So anyway, our life is multidimensional and is every bit as real in the dream state as it is that we think it is in the material, physical, day-to-day world. And when you move into the plane of the real, this world here will begin to appear like, I'm quoting Sai Baba here, like a faded pencil drawing. It begins to fade out until increasingly you live from the higher consciousness and you really don't notice anything else. That's what's so amazing, and I've really been experiencing that lately. I just don't notice the negative, nitty-gritty kind of things that make up a lot of people's lives. I have forgotten how to worry, be concerned, be afraid. Those things just have no reality to me at all anymore. So this is very much a place to be living in as we face what could be some pretty intense scenarios unfolding in the material, physical dimension. I also have experienced many times the Ashtar Command lifting me personally beyond the time-space coordinate that I happen to be occupying in the physicality. That's often done so quickly in and out of time that you don't register it. But suddenly, the twister has hit your house and it's a pile of toothpicks and you're unscathed. I was watching a couple the other day that their car was lifted 25, actually it was a mother and her son, was lifted 100 feet in the air and spun around like, Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz, and put back down on someone's lawn, and she and her little son didn't have a single scratch. That's where divine grace comes in and covers a mother and child, and they're supernaturally delivered from what could have been their certain death. So these things happen all the time. It's a work of the Ashtar Command. It's a work of the angelic forces and the higher spiritual laws of grace that come into operation. So back to your ideal mock-up. You need to secure an identity on the plane that you want to live in. You have to make it real enough that when you transition from this particular dimension in your physical body into the next dimension, you go into the plane of reality, because that's where you've been living while you're in the physical body. You go where you are living day to day, day in, day out. You are where you are until you're not. So it's important to move in and secure an identity at the higher level of dimensionality that you wish to move into, whether you call it the kingdom of heaven, or God realms, or truth, or what are some of the other things they call it, the fifth dimensional earth. And don't attach it to a date in time and space. I mean, you must have noticed that we keep pushing that date forward and forward, and maybe 2012 will get here and we'll push it then to 2025 or whatever. Forget that. That's not anything to base your life on, a linear calendar that some pope made up in terms of the years. That's not truth. Who you are lives beyond time, space, dimensionality, and even energy itself. You live as pure being, and that's what you place your focus on. So in terms of your physical body, you're beyond the taint of the fall, which brought in death and disease and aging. So you are eternally young, healthy, and perfect. Imagine yourself exactly as you would think you would look as an ascended master, as a Christ, as a divine being. Just see yourself that way. I learned something one day when I was in the soul realm. I had always taught and thought that your physical form ended with the etheric realm, which is the realm just beneath soul. I thought that we were a golden oval in soul, which I suppose we are at a certain in a certain way. But what I discovered is that actually love takes on a clothing based on the intention to step forward and be of service. For example, say, for example, you're in your soul body. Let's say it's a golden oval of awareness and consciousness. And you see someone in a particular historical area, in a particular place in the timeline. Love, the love that you are, would automatically wrap yourself in the appearance that would be appropriate to go and minister to that soul in that dimension. And you would simply appear in to that dimension next to that person. This is how the masters come and go all the time. They shift the gravitational flux lines of their bodies of light, and they appear in and they disappear out of time, space, any place they want to be. And that's who you are, and that's what you do as well. So you could look at your body almost like having an unlimited closet, if you will, of personas that you can put on. You know, you can shift your gender. Talk about gender bender. You can have it all there because you can be any size, shape, appearance, gender, sex, color, whatever, and all of them at the same time if you want, because there's no limitation at that level as to what you can do as a divine being. So don't stress about, initially when I was starting to train into this kind of stuff, I used to stress because I could never decide where I really wanted to live on the inner planes, because I don't like to be trapped down. And I didn't want my house to look a certain way because I didn't want to be stuck with that house. Hey, make as many as you want, as many houses, as many little environments as you want. I finally ended up making myself a spaceship to live in because I could move it around. Hey, it doesn't have to make sense. It just has to work for you. So as you move into your realm of reality, make it work for you and start small, expand, get a real experience of your dwelling there, a real experience of your doing your ministry, your mission, your work, whatever it is you do there. Make it really, really intensely vivid until it's so real that you can't convince your mind that it's not real and tangible, and you will have secured your identity there. Then someday you'll go up there and you'll look and you'll see that it's taken on a life of its own, and it is expanded and it's developed and it's grown. And you know what? I learned a secret. Because I had that experience, and I thought, well, how did that happen? I haven't visited this realm, you know, day in, day out. I've just sort of gone on about my life. And you know what I discovered? I discovered that when I move through the physical world in centered in my reality, that I'm creating. What would that look like? Well, it would look like where you only notice the good and the divine and the loving and the positive in yourself and in all others, and you leave everything up to God. Everything else you just leave to God. You just focus on whatever is good, pure, uplifting, inspiring, beautiful, wholesome, etc. and so forth. And that translates into the realm of the real, because that is true. That's your real, authentic identity, is exactly after the image and likeness of God. So then when you leave your body, you will not have to reincarnate back in the lower worlds, because you have placed your treasure on a level that is eternal and real. And you won't have to wait for any arbitrary time to ascend or to become perfect. Or did you ever notice that this realm is just not perfect? Could it be because it is a training ground for souls to become aware of the perfect in the midst of the imperfect? But of itself, it's not designed to be perfect. It's designed to give you an experience of contrast, multiplicity, duality, and separation. So you have to kind of use a thing for what it's for, don't you? So it's a training ground. This physical world is a training ground, an arena through which you hone the skills of self-mastery. That's all it's about here. And as you move your awareness back to where you've always been and your eternal identity, you awaken from this nightmare that we call a 3D life, and you find you've never left the heart of God. So this is a very worthwhile endeavor for you to put your time into and to really enjoy. I encourage you to have real fun with this. I mean, you can use some guided imagery if you like, if that kind of primes the pump for you to gain your own experience. There are books that you can buy on soul travel and on, what's a good one? Well, there's a lot of them. You just ask and you'll be guided to ones that are good for you. But whatever fine-tunes your creative imagination is what you want to look for, so that you can begin to create your own inner paradise, your own portable paradise, and you can abstract and transcend those levels that have kept you snagged in illusion, in despair, in depression, in hopelessness, and the things that come in the court your attention when you're not really focused in a positive way. It's important that we learn to direct our mind, not to just let it have its wayward way. It's important that we take care of our emotional balance so that it's clear and maintained. In fact, the ideal for the mind is clarity. So when you're in a state of clarity mentally, you're clear. When you're in a state of serenity emotionally, you're clear. When you're in a state of well-being physically, you're clear. Clear of what? Clear of karma. Duh. If there's no issue going on, there's no issue, and you're clear. So these are things that are your benchmarks and your toeholds in the realm of reality. Sai Baba has said that the way you can tell that you're truly advancing spiritually is that you're in a state of love, a state of peace and joy, that is the mark of a genuine yogi. And a yogi is someone who has come into union with the divine. So peace and joy are the characteristics of an enlightened being. As you govern your life in terms of its peace and its joy, you'll find that you're moving in the self-realized state of the realm of the real. You will also begin to notice that you step away from that whenever you come into a judgmental position of yourself or anyone else. That often will display itself as bad temper, irritation, most often gossiping, slandering, talking ill of others. That lets you know that you've stepped away from the love and the joy and the peace of your genuine spiritual path in the realm of the real. So stay in the realm of the real. Stay in the peace of God. Stay in the love of God. Because this is your nature. That is your real nature. Your nature is not human. Your nature is divine. The human is temporary. The divine is your real identity. And that real identity has a home, and it's not in this material world. Your real home is in the kingdom of soul, or the kingdom of heaven, as it's been called. Jesus often said, I have a kingdom, and it's not of this world. And I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And then he says, I live in the Father, and the Father lives in me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what he was talking about is that way that illumined masters speak when they're speaking from the soul, from the level of reality, from the atmic perspective, from the realm of the real. And I found that probably 98% of the statements that Jesus made, he was referring to this realm of the soul that we're talking about when he said, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, those sound like inner states to me. So he was not talking about a place in the outer material world, but a place in consciousness. However, you will find that when you move your awareness to that place in consciousness, the outer world is seen through that upper vision. And you find you're walking in heaven, here and now, in the physical body. And you will find when you're in that state, everything is absolutely perfect, just as it is. Doesn't need fixing. Doesn't need changing. People might say, well, what about the terrorism? What about the war? And what about this? You know what? That is a bad nightmare that souls are going to awaken from and find they've never left the heart of God. In truth, beloved, no one gets killed. No one gets blown up. No one gets destroyed. What happens? A nightmare figure. That's all. Just like some of these virtual realities where you blast these people to bits. Doesn't mean anything in the highest sense. No one has ever left the heart of God. Everyone is safe. Everyone is secure. Just some souls are having a very, very bad nightmare. So let's walk as awakened beings. Let's live in real lives. Let's be real, genuine beings that are self-realized. Let us be truly the light of the world. Let us be the planetary vision carriers. Let us be the hope, the salt, and the light of this earth. Let us be those that are ways by which men and women and children can see more clearly and come into the kingdom of heaven. Let's not wait. Let's not put it off to some calendar that somebody made and some arbitrary timeline. Tonight, this moment, let's choose to move in and secure our residency in the realm of reality. As we bring our show to a close, I again send the love of the Ashtar Command and all of those that constitute our spiritual upline, our spiritual family, our co-workers, the beloveds that surround each one of us at all times with great, great cheers and songs of victory as you step forward in your mastery. And the closet Christs are no longer in the closet. They are indeed walking the earth. We are the collective Messiah, and we have come for a time such as this. Blessings and grace to all. And let's go out with a nice, huge chant.